gospel service, and I'll invite the rest of you to turn in your Bible, if you would please, to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Thank you for being here this evening, and that's kind of, at least it's gone fast for me. Maybe it's been slow and a drag for you. I don't know, but it's gone by very quickly, and I've thoroughly enjoyed my time being back at Marquette and getting to rekindle some old friendships and make some new ones. And I'm certainly thankful for the opportunity to be here, and I trust that God will take His Word, use it to be a blessing and meet needs in your own heart, and that the effect of God's Word in your life will last far, far, far after this time together is done. We've been looking this week at the theme of knowing Christ and growing in Christ from 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And that is our theme, and I trust that that will be a desire of your heart to know Christ and to grow in Him. Tonight we're going to finish up the passage that we began on Sunday, and we are looking now at the final two things that God says are to be part of every believer's life. We are to be giving all diligence, making every effort to add, to supply to our faith, these different things so that our life will reflect what an authentic relationship with Jesus Christ looks like. And we're going to finish that out. Our text is verse number 7. So look with me, please, if you would, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. It says, "And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity." The final two things that we see tonight are brotherly kindness and charity. And we're going to look, first of all, there at brotherly kindness. The word here, brotherly kindness, has a very specialized meaning in the New Testament. This specific Greek word is used only in regards to fellow believers in Christ. It's a restricted word. It is only used in the New Testament to speak of a relationship of people who share faith in Jesus Christ. Now, that's really kind of how the book begins. Remember, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us. And that means this, those who share faith in a common Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. Now, I grew up down south, Star, South Carolina. One thing you hear a lot down south, and you don't hear quite as much up here, you'll hear this quite a bit. You'll hear, "Hey, brother so-and-so," and "Hey, sis," or "sister." You hear that all the time. You say, why do they do that? Well, let me explain. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, the children of God." You know what that means? Look at me. You ready? If I receive Christ by faith and I'm a child of God, and you've received Jesus Christ and you're a child of God, you know what that makes us? Family. We're part of the family of God. That's why we say brothers and sisters in Christ, because that's who we are. We have a unique family relationship. It's amazing. There is no other human relationship like this, where you can go. People, you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have a unique bond with believers regardless of your culture, regardless of your country. I kind of lost track. I forget how many foreign countries I've been in now, but I think it's around 15. Cultures I've never been to, languages I don't speak, and when you meet brothers and sisters in Christ, your bond is Christ. That is our common bond, Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, you know one of the problems with family is? We treat each other too much like family. Now, let's be honest, okay? Would you really treat guests the same way that you sometimes treat family? No. You ever notice that when you have guests over that everybody's on their good behavior? The kids are acting up and mom and dad want to kill them, you know? And they're, yeah, you need to stop doing that right now. Fake smile, you know? And, of course, if there was no company there, I mean, gloves off, right? Look, my point is this. We have a unique distinction as being children of God. And we represent our Heavenly Father. And there is a unique bond among believers, and it's called brotherly kindness. Unique brotherly love. And it's to be demonstrated consistently to one another. Now, the Word of God makes it very plain that we, like for example, 1 Peter 1:22, that we are to love one another with a sincere love, fervently. We are to, matter of fact, 1 John chapter 3, 17 and 18 says, if we have this world's goods or we've been blessed and we see that someone has need, but we shut up our bowels of compassion or we don't meet their needs, he says, how dwelleth the love of God in him? And then the next verse, verse 18 says, brethren, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. What he's saying, he's not saying that you're not supposed to be kind with your word. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, don't just say that you love, live love. Live love to the brethren. Look, it's time that we as believers started acting like the family of God. And when you come into this building, don't go around looking for everyone to serve you. Look to serve and look to love. When was the last time that you came to look at the needs of others? You know, it's amazing to me. I'm not being unkind, but we have believers, they'll write out checks to ads for charities that they see on TV or that they hear on the radio. But a brother and sister in Christ, in the family, who is struggling financially, well, be warmed and filled. Hope God answers your prayer somehow, brother. Not if God's blessed you. You know what we're supposed to do? We are to come alongside, and we are to love. Let me ask you a question. What did Jesus say is the single greatest defining characteristic of a genuine disciple, who, if he's a disciple, is a believer and thus a child of God? What is the single greatest defining factor or characteristic of a genuine disciple of Jesus Christ? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that you're separated, right? That you part your hair the same way? No. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that ye love one another. The greatest testament of your love for Jesus Christ and that you are a genuine child of God. Read 1 John. Do you know how many different times it says, by this we know that we have a relationship with God, that we love the brethren? This is one of the evidences of salvation. When we love one another. Do you know what that means? You ever have any conflict in your family? You ever not get along? Get that? I have an older brother and a younger brother, and I have a sister, and she's the baby, and thus the spoiled, privileged one. You know what? You ever not get along sometimes? Conflict? Sure. I believe that believers have come to the point sometimes where we come in, and in one body, in one church building, one church body of believers, we come in and we barely tolerate one another. There shouldn't be anybody in this body that you can't speak to, you can't talk to. Shouldn't be. Ephesians 4:32, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. There's to be a unique love of the brethren that we, by the way, do you know what it says? You have to give all diligence to add brotherly kindness. Because look at me, there are some brothers and sisters in Christ who, quite frankly, are a little bit challenging to love. But God says, work at it. Work at it. Love one another. Love the brethren. Brotherly kindness. However, there's one more characteristic that God's word says. This is to be in the life of every believer. Not only brotherly kindness, but he goes one step further and he says this, it's charity. The word charity there, many of you have already guessed this. This is the Greek word agape, love. Now, this word is the idea of a selfless, sacrificial, serving love that always is for the benefit of another. But let me explain one of the reasons why the word charity is used to describe the type of love this is. Do you know what? How do we use the word charity today? Well, there's someone, and the guy's got nothing. Is destitute. Somebody comes along and does something, usually giving them something. Maybe it's money or food or clothing or shelter, and that person has absolutely no ability to repay or to ever give it back. We use the word charity. Doing something good for someone else when there is no benefit to the giver. Let me ask you a question. What benefit did God gain from loving sinners like us? Let me explain how this word is used a couple times in the New Testament. Let me explain this word love a little bit. This agape love, this is three things. Number one, this love is defined by the person of God. 1 John 4:8. God is agape. God is love. This love defines the person of our God. It's the essential nature of God. Now, I'm not going to do it tonight, but I want to challenge you to do something. If you've never done this, it's really fascinating. Go to, in your own personal devotions, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And every time where you say love is, substitute God. It's amazing. Because you know what? Because God is love, love is then reflected in His character and His nature, and when we are living love, we are reflecting and living the nature of God. It's amazing. God is love. It's defined by the person of God. Number two, this love is demonstrated through Jesus Christ. I'm going to quote the verse. I just want you to say the next word, okay? Ready? John 3:16, for God so agape. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but that the world through Him might be saved. The single greatest act of pure agape love was when Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, died on the cross of Calvary, taking the sins of humanity on Himself, becoming sin for us. He, Jesus Christ, that was the single greatest act of love in the history of eternity, never will be. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrateth his agape toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Here's an amazing truth. God loves you. He agapes you. It is this eternal, unconditional, or overwhelming love that He has for you. Even though you and I are sinners, separated from God in our sin, hopeless and undone, and incapable of rendering any benefit to God or giving Him anything in return for this love. And yet He loves us, and He desires to rescue us and bring us into His family through Jesus Christ. Man, what an amazing truth, demonstrated through the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. But here's the beauty of this love that is defined by God and demonstrated through Christ is third of all in the life of the believer now can be obeyed and can be directed two ways. Number one is to be directed towards God. So follow me here. 1 John 4:19. This is my son Connor's favorite verse. We, agape, we love Him because He first loved us. We agape Him because He first agape us. So when we have known the love of God and we are saved, we are now made a new creation, a new creature. Remember, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, we are a partaker of the divine nature. And if God is love and we share in His nature, now we have the capacity, which we did not before, which is to agape. We can now love with the same love that God has loved us with. But look at me. This, in our culture today, we've got some wrong thinking, and they say, oh, well, love is the most important thing. Look at me. People are justifying, they're trying to justify sin by saying, well, if I love someone, or if I love something, or if I love myself, then it's okay for me to do this. Look, the greatest command of love is not for you to love yourself. You know what Jesus said was the greatest commandment given by God to men? And thou shalt love, agape, the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all you are. And you say, to love God is the greatest command? It's exactly what He said. To love God is the greatest command. And by the way, what does it mean to love God? How do I demonstrate that I genuinely love God? What is that? Remember, love, this agape love, is not some emotion or some feeling. This love is always demonstrated through action. Selfless, serving, giving. John 14:15, Jesus put it this way, if you love me, keep my commandments. to show that you genuinely love God, you obey His word. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, and this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. So we now are to demonstrate, we can direct this agape love. Now it's in our nature. Now we have the capacity to agape. We can now agape love, and we are to first of all direct that to our God, and He is to be the greatest object of our love, and that is to be demonstrated by obedience to His word. But do you know what the second commandment is? Number one, love the Lord your God. Number two, you shall love, agape your neighbor as yourself. Now, I'm going to let you in a little secret. Despite what popular culture says, nobody in this room has a problem with loving themselves. We all love ourselves very much. Second greatest commandment, love your neighbor. We can now direct this agape love that is first of all to God. Now we can love other people. And it comes out in our actions, in our words, and in our attitudes towards other people. I will reference again to you 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That is love in action. And by the way, let me just remind you of a really important truth. Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have faith so that I can remove all mountains, or if I give all my gifts to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not agape, have not charity, it is what? Nothing. Look at me, I believe there are going to be a lot of people who are going to realize the emptiness of their life because they lived their life with the right position and the right standard, so to speak, but they lived without love. That's not my words, that's God's. We are to live love. And then he goes on to say, after expressing how essential love is in the life of a believer, love is kind, love isn't envy, it doesn't bond itself, it's not easily provoked, it doesn't think evil, it doesn't rejoice in iniquity, it rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hope all things, endureth all things. This is agape love in action. So what we need to do is compare our life to God's word. And then I would encourage you, go to 1 Corinthians 13. Open up God's word and walk through it and seek, ask God to help you to maybe work on one at a time, but ask God to help you live out His word, to live love towards others. By the way, you know who God's commanded us to love? We're to love our neighbor. That's everybody, not just the person living next door. And then he even uses the same word in other passages. We're to love the brethren, that's our brothers and sisters in Christ. And then we're supposed to love our enemies. Ugh. Really? Yeah. Even our enemies. Because for the life of the believer, we are commanded to live a life that demonstrates we are loving God. And by the way, if loving God is obeying His word and He's commanded us to love others, if we are not loving others, are we truly loving God? No. And I want to remind you of a really neat truth. Colossians chapter 3:14 says this, and above all these things, put on charity, agape love, which is the bond of perfectness or unity. In other words, love is the bond that holds the previous virtues that were listed in Colossians chapter 3, that holds them all together and helps them to function together for God's purposes. Believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, we are to be diligently adding to our faith, to be making every effort to add to our faith brotherly kindness and charity, that agape love, because this is what authentic Christianity looks like. Our message is done tonight, and I want to ask us just a couple of questions before we enter into our time of reflection and response. One, do you know the love of God personally? Has there been a time, sir, ma'am, when you realized that you were a sinner separated from God, condemned by your sin, no worth or value in and of yourself, but that God loved you? God loves you. And he loves you so much that he sent Christ to die for not only your sins, but for the sins of the world. And he offers to rescue you from your sin through faith in Jesus Christ. And if you will receive Christ by faith, trusting him to save you, he will save you from your sin, deliver you from that power of sin, deliver you from the condemnation of sin, and give you eternal life, life with him that never ends, life that begins now on this earth, and one day when your body dies, your soul, that eternal part of you that lives forever, will not be separated from God in judgment, but will be with him for eternity because you are his child. If you don't know Christ as your personal Savior tonight, can I encourage you, when our service is over, would you please come speak to me or Pastor Micah or maybe just someone you know and feel comfortable talking with and let them know your needs. Say, I need to be saved. I want a relationship with God. Let someone take God's word and show you how you can know Christ. I want to speak to those of you who are believers now, and specifically in this body, I want to make an appeal to you. You see, our home church in South Bend for the last 8 years has gone through very, very difficult times. And I have seen what not having brotherly love and agape charity has done in the body. I've seen it firsthand. And it's devastating. Can I encourage you as a child of God? Would you tonight, as a child of God, ask him, God, help me to love the brethren, to have brotherly kindness. Maybe there's a brother or sister in this body that you need to go to. Maybe you need to make things right. Maybe you need to say, you know what, I don't go out of my way. I don't go to talk to them. Maybe you need to start looking for ways to serve and meet the needs. Maybe you can't even remember the last time that you sought to meet the need of another person, whether it was a physical need or a spiritual need or to come alongside emotionally, to write a note, to make a phone call, to lend a hand. Maybe you say, Lord, help me to begin living out my love for the brethren and to genuinely love my brothers and sisters in Christ. Maybe it's the agape love. You say, Lord, I need to be working diligently at charity. Because when I compare my life to 1 Corinthians 13, maybe you need to direct that love to God first. You say, you know what, I've got some idols of my heart that God's not been my greatest love. I've not been obeying his first command. Maybe you need, let you look at 1 Corinthians 13, you find your life falling short and you're not really living a life of love by obedience to his word. Oh, may each of us ask God to help us to be diligent to add to our faith, charity, so that our lives will live out the reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.